Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, "Some of that stuff wasn't junk"? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Junk Refund Show, my favorite time, Thursdays at 3 o'clock Eastern, where we get to come on the BBS Radio Network, a great network, and just have a lot of fun talking about the world of junk removal and what is going on. I am coming to you live from Severna Park, Maryland, where I just dropped off two pine cabinets. We sold them for $100 each. $100 total. We picked them up and hauled them away yesterday from a home in Rockville, Maryland. And I drove out literally 50 miles, which I wouldn't normally do, but I drove out 50 miles. It took me about an hour to get out here to sell these things, plus raised. So it was $100 for the cabinets, which is good. That's a sale. And two beautiful pine cabinets that are identical and are in exquisite shape, which is really rare. The very first person that saw this list on Facebook Marketplace contacted us and said, "Hey, I'm in Severna Park," and I had put on the listing possible free delivery today, depending on where you are, because we want to get them off our truck without having to store them. And so I've been doing that throughout the day. I'm kind of a furniture delivery guy right now as a part of our business. And this is the second delivery that I've done today. And because these guys were so nice, and they were the first ones that approached us, I told them that it's an hour each way to come out and do this. And normally we charge $100 each way for an hour's time to come out and deliver these and then come back. But I said, you guys were the first ones to contact us. We got people locally here who also want them for the same price. But I said, I'll charge you $75, to make the trip out and save you some money. And they messaged me back and said, "That sounds like a great deal." And it is. So I literally just stopped off there and dropped off a couple of pine cabinets that are sold. And the guy that hired us, a little bit of a hoarder, guy that hired us to haul them out of his house that he's been in for 60 years. The realtor is getting ready to list the house for sale. He will get 35% of the sales price. So he'll get $35. And I took $75, the extra money for the delivery, and I stuck it in a little envelope that I have right now in my truck. It's got a picture of a young lady on there who I talked about, I think, about a year and a half ago. Her name is Tina. She's from Atlanta. And I think I mentioned this originally when I talked about her a year and a half ago. She made a post on Facebook. Back then, she is a flight attendant, and she basically said, "Who wants to go to Bora Bora?" And six or seven people responded. I was not one of her friends at the time. I had never met her or anything, but I liked her spirit of adventure. And of the six or seven people who responded, none of them said, "I do. I'll go." They all said, "Oh, I wish I could," or, "Man, that sounds fun," or, "Maybe one of these days." And I just went in and responded to it and said, "Hey, you don't know me, but I'll go anytime. Just let me know when." Well, to gotten to the point, I got to know her a little bit over the last year and a half, that we are right now planning to go to Bora Bora and make her dream become a reality in May of next year, which would be for her birthday. We were talking about going in about 2 weeks in October, but you need more lead time. I figured out what this trip would cost, and it's a few bucks. And by putting it off 7 or 8 months, it buys me time. It cuts the airfare. It cuts the hotel rates, and everything drops almost in half, to be honest with you, some of this expense. And I'm going, cool. I mean, I don't, you know, go out and do multi-big buck birthday presents for people, but this girl's worth it. This lady's worth it, and she's really cool. So I have in my truck right now, as a little bit of a visual reminder, I have an envelope where I printed off on the cover of the envelope a couple of her pictures, which are stunning. And my goal, based on what it would cost to do this trip between now and May, is to set aside about 50 bucks a day by doing little sales of things that normally we would overlook or we wouldn't care about, or they would get thrown away or whatever. So I just started this a couple of days ago. And so today I told myself, you know what? I'm going to drive out there. I'm going to take the $75 that I get for the delivery fee. I'm going to stick that in Tina's envelope, and we'll just start making it grow, right? It's a little psychological game that I play that motivates me to try to make little extra money from little things that sometimes would get thrown away. That brings me to my friends at Bonanza Coins in Silver Spring, Maryland. If you are ever in the Silver Spring, Maryland area and you want to walk into a money cave, go to Bonanza Coins on Wayne Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland, because this guy has got coins a-go-go, boxes and boxes and boxes, books, you know, all kinds of coins in this store. I don't know how much money is sitting in this store, but it's a boatload of money. And I go in there and sell him different coin collections that we get from people's homes that we clear out, or maybe a little hodgepodge of coins that we might pick up. I had a little transparent cup the other day that is probably an 8-ounce cup at its best. And in that cup, I had thrown a few little miscellaneous coins, foreign coins, some coins in those little cardboard wrappers, you know, with cellophane over them that collectors will use. I just put a little collection of stuff in there that came from another job. It was nothing big and exciting. It was just basic stuff. But I dropped off yesterday to Bonanza Coins. I went in there and showed them the little cup of stuff. And I said, you know, this is not going to be much. One of those coins was like a restaurant token of some kind, and they were looking at that coin. The guy got out his phone and did a little research and gave me $25 for this little collection, this little small cup, fourth of the way full of various coins that normally would probably sit around my house for a year before I'd do anything with them, or I would just get tired of them sitting in my truck and I'd throw them away at some point, whatever. You see, it's that little stuff that gets overlooked that you normally won't take time to try to turn into cash that I'm having fun turning into cash and then taking that cash and sticking it in Tina's envelope for the Bora Bora trip. Now, the cool thing is there's no guarantees here that this trip is actually going to happen. I mean, we're just good friends. There's nothing serious going on between us, anything like that. But being able to make this dream come true and being able to go to such a wonderful place with such a wonderful lady as this would really be a little bit of heaven on earth. So I guess my point is kind of simple. If you have something you want to save up some money for, something that means a lot to you, something that you're committed to, you know, et cetera, put some kind of a visual reminder of that, which is what the envelope is. Put some kind of a visual reminder of that together so that you'll see it often, and use that to remind you about this goal you have and how you're going to work on this goal. I did a similar thing with a lady who's been a guest on this show named Leslie Sadler. She is with Leslie Sandler Jewelers in North Potomac, Maryland. She sent me a text message. I took, literally, it was only a handful of jewelry, and it looked like a lot of this was just costume jewelry kind of stuff. I took a little small metal can of that over to her 2 days ago, and she messaged me back this about an hour ago. She said, our offer is $148. And I went, yippee. You know, there's, again, costume jewelry is not something you're supposed to get rich on. But and I checked it the night before with my magnifying glass to see if any of it was gold, if it was marked. If it is gold, by the way, any jewelry that you have that is gold will be marked in a hidden little place, like the little behind the latch or the lapel pin or something. There'll be any flat surface that where it can hide it a little bit. It'll be marked, and it'll have a K in there. So it'll be marked 10K, 14K, which means 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat. That's what you're looking for. If you have some jewelry lying around, go to the local supermarket, spend $6 or $7, get yourself a magnifying glass, and then turn around and look at this jewelry that you have. If it is sterling silver, it will be marked either the number 925 will be on there, and that tells you it's sterling silver. But more often, the word sterling will be stamped in the silver, and that tells you that it's sterling silver. We have had situations where people gave us a wooden case of sterling silverware that their grandmother had owned, and we took that to a place called Bullion Bank in McLean, Virginia, and sold that sterling silver for about $2,200. And then later they came back and said, oh, here's part two. Here's grandma's other half of the collection of the sterling silver. We sold that for $1,800. So it's a lot of fun. It's a little treasure hunt. If you get some jewelry in your possession, to go through it, look for the 10K, 14K, anything K marked in gold tells you that that's gold. You set that aside. And then you do the same thing with silver. You're looking for sterling silver. You don't want silver plate. You'll get stuff like Reed and Barton, a well-known silver manufacturer, will have their name on a lot of silver. But if it doesn't say sterling or it doesn't say 925, then you've got basic stuff that you can just recycle or give away or whatever. But if it has the other markings on it, the word sterling or the 925 number or 10K, 14K, 18K on the gold, then you're into some money, and then it's worth taking it to a jeweler to see what they will give you for it. Not all jewelers are the same. I've got a couple of them that we've used that have been really good. I went into one that really didn't give us much of an offer for anything and turned around and went to another and got a much better offer. But Leslie Sandler is amazing because she will buy the non-gold, non-sterling silver stuff from us, which is what most people would have. And I've had situations where I've gotten hundreds of dollars from her for costume jewelry that other people turned down because it wasn't gold and silver. So it's always a wonderful thing. It's a great way to leverage your business. If you run into some old jewelry that's sitting around your place, double check it. Get the magnifying glass so you can look at it, and it's really kind of fun to try to find it. When you see a gold ring that on the inside it says, 14K, ka-ching, that's an exciting thing. Set that aside. And you can walk into a number of jewelers and walk out with cash because they will buy it for the gold value that is simply a part of the jewelry. So there you go. There's a little bit about jewelry. And this afternoon, I'm going to be picking up at Leslie's home a check for, what did I say, $145, I think it was. It'll be taped to her door for some jewelry that otherwise would have been just kind of tossed, or it would not have been a priority. But I'm trying to make these little things, I'm trying to turn it into cash to justify spending a few bucks to go to Bora Bora next May. And again, that is what, 7 months away? I think I have 220 days, something like that, to do this. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a little self-created game I've got going. And that little envelope now has $100 in it, right? In day three, I guess. And I'll take some money from the jewelry thing and put that in it. And again, I'm not taking money from, you know, living expenses or rent or bills or gas money or savings or any of that. I'm taking the little stuff that is kind of a hassle, but it might be worth something, and that's what I'm trying to turn into cash. And that little bit of stuff added up over a couple hundred days will get me and a friend to Bora Bora for a week, which, of course, when we go, if it all comes together and if it works, we'll do the radio show from Bora Bora. And we will probably launch her little side business called It Takes Heart, H-A-R-T, from that radio show. Maybe sooner. We'll have her as a guest on this show sooner. I'm not sure yet. But we will do something with that, especially if we're in Bora Bora. Can't wait to do a show from there. That would be a total blast. I have to take a couple of minutes just in honor of a very well-respected man who millions of people love and admire. His name is Russell M. Nelson. He was the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We believe he was, because he passed away about 10 days ago at the age of 101. We believe he is, while he was alive, a prophet for our Father in Heaven, like Moses, or like Elijah, or like John the Baptist, or like Malachi. Same kind of deal, that he speaks for God. And there are a lot of people, especially in the Christian world, who for whatever reason believe that those prophets don't exist anymore, that it's all in the Bible and that's all we need. We would suggest differently. And Brother Nelson, President Nelson, was the president of our church, which makes him the prophet on the earth, for the last about 7.5 years. He did some amazing things, like some of Jesus' apostles at the time back in the New Testament. Some of those guys were fishermen. Matthew was a tax collector. You get different people with different professions, etc., but they are called to their calling directly from somebody who has the authority to make that calling. And Russell Nelson was a surgeon, a well-known heart surgeon. I think he was involved in the first, artificial heart transplant. I think that's what he was involved in. A top surgeon, brilliant guy, who for the last 40 years has been one of our 12 apostles, and he got to the point where he was the senior apostle. And 7.5 years ago, his predecessor passed away, and Russell Nelson became president of the church. He is a kind, loving, wonderful man who just did so much good for so many people. And it would be inappropriate to overlook his contribution to the world and all the good that he's done, especially in the years that he's been the leader of the church. And we will miss him greatly. If you want to find out, you know, about some of his talks and some of his counsel and et cetera, just Google his name, Russell M. M stands for Marion, Russell M. Nelson. And there will be a boatload of wonderful advice there. Whether you're a member of our church or not is irrelevant. It's just good, solid advice for anybody to have a happier life. So we will miss him a great deal. I will tell you one story real quick before we go to the first. In fact, I'll do this. I'll tell you a story about Russell Nelson in about after we come back from break. We're going to take a break here for about a minute. And when we come back, I'll tell you about a kind of a one-on-one story that I had with him that means a lot to me, and we'll do it in his honor, and then we'll talk about some more stuff having to do with the world of junk removal, both in your home and in your life. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, driving on Interstate 32 West in Maryland, headed back to do more work in the junk removal business this afternoon. We'll be back in just a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I am your host, Alan Cook, junk removal guy for the last 20 years in the Washington, D.C. area, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. The word refund is in there because we do something different than everybody else, and I'm doing it today, as a matter of fact. When we haul away something out of your home or business that we think has value, we will put it up for sale. If it sells, you get a percentage of the sales price, 35% of the sales price, as long as we sell something for more than $20. We don't want to deal with little $5 items because we've got better things to do with our time than sell little stuff like that. But I am literally in the truck right now, having just done a delivery in Severna Park, Maryland, for a couple of pine wooden cabinets / bookshelves that were about maybe 4 feet high, let's say 3 feet wide, and maybe 13 or 14 inches deep. They each had two bookshelves inside them. They were identical, and they looked like they just came out of the factory, showroom floor. They were just brilliant. So I'm out selling stuff today, and I'm delivering it, and I've got a five-piece bedroom set on the back of my truck right now that I think is going to get sold for about $300 in about 45 minutes. And delivered for free to some people in Kensington, Maryland. So I told myself this morning, go out and try and make $1,000. And I didn't have a today. And I didn't have, some big job set up where I could just walk in and go, okay, we're here. Give me the check. So I'm kind of scrambling a little bit right and left to just put together some ideas of what we can do. And we did do we cleaned out a bedroom set this morning, so we immediately listed it for sale. I had some stuff on the truck from last night. I put it up for sale. I have about 15 pieces of a vintage, I think it's fairly vintage, Lionel train set in the front of my truck right now. I'm kind of researching that to see what those pieces are worth. And we sold, as I mentioned earlier in the show, a couple of jewelry that I'm going to get a check for $140 this afternoon for. I sold a few little coins, miscellaneous coins, for $25. But you add that all up, and pretty soon, you're talking a few bucks. So anyway, it's just a fun thing. Plus, you're out meeting more people, getting more customers, etc. And that's a good thing. But back to Russell M. Nelson. He, like I said, was a heart surgeon. He graduated from high school when he was 16. I think he graduated from college when he was 20. He got the lead in a college play at the University of Utah. The lady that cast opposite of him, also with the female lead, He said he took one look at her and he said, "That's the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." They ended up getting married. They had 10 children, 9 girls, 1 boy. His wife, for many years, sang in the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, now called the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, which means our friend Russell was responsible on Sunday mornings for getting 9 girls ready for church, which he very successfully did. A terrific man, a wonderful and kind husband and father, a scholar, and a top surgeon. He spent a few years, I'm just going to say maybe in residency in the Washington, D.C. area. So he knows a lot of the older people in the D.C. area that are members of our church, including J. Willard Marriott, who founded the Marriott Corporation back in 1929. He knows a lot of these people. So when our church, well, we call it a stake, it's a group of wards or congregations. Gathered together. When he was here many years ago, I think back in the 50s, he met a lot of people. And when we wanted to celebrate the 75th anniversary of the creation of this, we'll call it a diocese, it's called a stake, S-T-A-K-E, in our terminology. When we celebrated that 75th year anniversary, we invited all of the people that had been leaders in our stake to come together for a special meeting on a Friday night to just celebrate the longevity of this organization in the Washington area. He came back for that. And he was involved in 1974 as a physician. He was asked to come back with some of the church leaders to dedicate the Washington, D.C. temple, which was the 16th temple that our church built. It's the tallest temple we've ever built, 288 feet high. It's the third largest one we've ever built behind the Salt Lake City Temple and the Los Angeles Temple. And he was invited to come back for that dedication. An experience happened the morning of that dedication that Russell Nelson was a part of. And it was a great experience, a great spiritual experience. And when he came back for the 75th anniversary, it now was the fact that he was the only living person who could tell that story firsthand about this experience that happened at the dedication. I won't go into the experience per se, but it was a great one. And he was the only living person that could tell that story. And in the 25 or so years that I have lived in this area, all the church meetings I've been to, no one has ever referenced this particular experience that happened. And so with him coming back, I kind of had this silent wish in my heart that he would say something about it, because he's the only guy that was there firsthand that could recount what happened. I didn't know him personally or anything. I wasn't going to get a chance to meet him and ask if he could mention this while he was here. Nothing like that. I was just a member of the crowd who came on Friday night to do a little celebration. And then we have a traditional Saturday night meeting with the adults in the area. And then we have a regular conference on Sunday. And he's, of course, the headline guy that presides at all these meetings. Friday night, he spoke, but he didn't say anything about this experience. Saturday night, he walks up to the microphone, and the very first thing he says is, "I want to tell you about an experience that I had at the dedication of the Washington Temple in 1974. And I was sitting back in the back part of the meeting house, and I wanted to stand up and high-five somebody, because I kind of thought I knew what was about to be said. And I was just thrilled that this little silent wish that I had sounded like it was about to come true. And I turned to a lady sitting next to me when he first mentioned what he was going to talk about. And I said, He's going to talk about Q.B. Brown and President Lee. And then he started his story, and he said, I have an experience I want to tell you that involves Q.B. Brown and President Lee. This lady looked at me like, you got to be kidding me. How'd you know that? Right? I'm so excited because I knew that this wonderful experience was finally going to be told to hundreds and hundreds of people by a man who was there firsthand to experience it. It was one of those little silent prayers that got answered miraculously in a way that just made my heart burn inside me. It was fabulous. I was so impressed with what happened that I wrote Elder Nelson a letter afterwards and thanked him and told him about this experience and how grateful I was that he had said something about this. He wrote me back and commented on how much he appreciated my letter and thought it was very kind that I would, you know, take time to write to him and et cetera. But I was the one who was overjoyed to get a response back from him at this, you know, having to do with this experience. And it just goes to show you that there are times where a silent prayer is not only heard, but can be answered. And that's a terrific thing to have happen. So about 10 days ago, we lost him at the age of 101, and he deserves to be discussed, excuse me, because of his great contribution and, frankly, the love that he has for humanity of all faiths and all walks of life. It's just a marvelous thing that he's done. And he deserves to be commended for it. That brings me to item number two, which happened about a week ago. In fact, I think it happened the day after President Nelson passed away. This would have been a week ago Sunday, and you've heard about it on the news. That was the fire that took place in Michigan. Gentleman drives his truck. Pickup truck into the chapel, basically, into the front doors, crashes in the front doors, the building starts on fire. Four people are shot dead. I think another eight or nine are wounded. And we have not had one of these tragedies happen, to my knowledge, in one of our buildings with one of our congregations in the past. If we have, I apologize, and I just simply don't know when it was or who it was with. But this one in Michigan 10 days ago caught us all off guard. And I know that as I was sitting, I heard about it in church in Washington, D.C. by a friend of mine who was going to speak in the meeting that day. And he came up to me, he said, did you hear what happened this morning in Michigan? I said, no. And he told me what had happened. And it affected him to the point where he wasn't sure how to give his talk or what he should do for a talk. He said, I don't know how to give my talk. I said, what were you going to talk on? He said, I was going to talk on the love of God. He said, it seems kind of hard to do that given that some of our people have just been, you know, murdered in church. And I told him, this is a young guy, he's about 19 years old. I told him, he joined the church about 8 months ago. I said, look, go up there in front, go up there on the stand, just take a seat, say a silent prayer, just ask God to help you. And go with the thoughts that come into your mind and any inspiration you get. Just run with that, and you'll be okay. Well, he did. He did a wonderful job. Under the circumstances, he did a great job. He gave a great talk, a great sermon. And he came down to me afterwards, and I gave him another hug, and I said, boy, that was terrific. You did a great job. And he pointed up to the ceiling, basically, or to the sky, and said, that wasn't me. That was coming from up above. I thought, yep, that's the way it works. So I wanted to mention these folks, though, because I've heard
you folks probably know more about this than I, because I'm out busy doing junk removal jobs as opposed to listening to the news a lot. But there has been some money raised. The last I saw was around $150,000 by members of our church in Michigan to give to the family of the shooter, who I think was trying to, I guess there are some, maybe some medical bills or something that needs to be taken care of in that family. The people who lost loved ones turned around and raised money to give to the loved ones of the shooter to help them out. Now, seriously, that's so Christ-like that I don't know what else to say. And I think the number, and it's not about the amount of money, but originally it was reported like $90,000, and they said it was up to $150,000. And I think that money is going to go a long ways to help the family of the shooter get some issues solved, perhaps some medical issues solved in their family. That's going to mean a lot to them. And I simply tip my hat to anybody who has that level of forgiveness and love in their heart at any time that can help somebody else out in that way. I just thought that was remarkable. So hats off to our friends in Michigan who were the victims of this tragic shooting. More power to them when you have a forgiving heart instead of carrying a lot of anger inside of you. If you find yourself holding a grudge against somebody or getting upset about something that just continues to come back to you and bug you, some kind of an issue, maybe it's with a person, maybe it's with a group of people, maybe it's with family members, whatever it might be. If you've got that kind of angst in your life eating away at you, kind of gnawing at you, go on the web and pull up a talk given by James E. Faust, F-A-U-S-T. The talk is called The Healing Power of Forgiveness. And it is a great talk that will probably change your life and will give you a number of examples where people who were incredibly mistreated, like our friends in Michigan, who just went to go to church and ended up, some of them, getting shot, right? If you have any situations that just keep kind of gnawing at you and bugging you, and you want to find some peace, read this talk by James E. Faust called The Healing Power of Forgiveness. There's real power in forgiving someone. There is weakness in holding a grudge. And we often justify ourselves in holding a grudge because we'll say, oh, I can't believe he did what he did, right? Or I will never forgive him, or whatever it might be. You may have listened in to Charlie Kirk's funeral where his wife publicly said to the shooter, I forgive you, right? And got a standing ovation from those folks in Arizona when she said that. So, you know, if you've got something bugging you, this is a personal thing with me. I've had situations where, you know, kind of mentally, you get situations in your mind and your mind just won't let it go. And it starts to weigh on you. It drains your energy and it makes you upset and it just bothers you and it's taxing. Read that talk by James E. Faust, The Healing Power of Forgiveness, and you will probably change your life as a result of those words. So that's my best tip to help you get some of the junk out of your mind, so to speak, maybe out of your heart, where you're trying to find more peace in your life and you're looking for a way to do it. That's one way to do it. Read that talk, and you can thank me later. Because he was a great church leader of ours, an attorney, an accomplished individual, with a great message on helping people find peace when they have been wronged and you would naturally want to attack or fight back. he's suggesting there's a better way to get some power, and that's to forgive someone. So we're going to take another break here for about a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, driving on I-95 now, south towards Washington from the Baltimore area. We'll be back in about a minute to the last section of the show.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, driving down I-95 towards Washington, D.C., coming from the Baltimore area where I just delivered a couple of pine cabinets to some people that were thrown away by our customer yesterday. They are now sold and in someone else's home. The customer that hired us to haul them away is going to get some of that money as a refund. The customer who bought the cabinets couldn't believe they got such a great deal on such nice cabinets. And our company not only got paid to clean out the cabinets and other stuff at the home, but we just got paid a second time to deliver them and sell them to somebody else. That's called everybody wins. Another way to win in the junk removal business is to look for companies like we have in the Maryland area called Wonder Books. Wonder Books is a used bookstore that buys books, DVDs, CDs, record albums from people. They don't pay a lot because, you know, we can all get books on our iPads or our phones or whatever these days. But if you go in there with like an accountant's box full of books, they'll give you an offer of usually about $2 or $3 cash, or they'll give you a certificate for store credit in their stores that will be maybe triple what the cash offer is. So we frequently end up going in there with 8 to 10 boxes of books like we did the other day. Cash offer was about $15. The in-store credit offer was $35. And in their stores, they sell not only books and CDs and DVDs and Blu-rays and T-shirts, they also sell sodas and candy bars and snacks and fudge and a bunch of different things. So we make money, and I actually have right now in my wallet, I have gift certificates from their bookstore for hundreds of dollars of merchandise that I can just go in and pick whatever I want. And it'll be paid for as a result of taking the books in and getting the store credit like we did before. So that's kind of a cool thing. So Wonder Books, they're in the Gaithersburg, Maryland area. It is not a national chain, but you might look at the website for them, get a sense of what they do, and then just see if there's somebody like that in your area that does a similar thing. Wonder Books may have a way of dealing around the country, but I'm not convinced that's the case because you'd have to ship the books to them and that gets to be expensive and whatever. But in this area, it's kind of nice because we don't take books and just throw them away. We recycle them and somebody else can use them. We're cleaning out a home for a good friend of mine who moved out to Utah, took a lot of stuff with him. He and his wonderful wife are headed out there. In fact, they're out there now. And sold a nice big home here. And from what I understand, he bought an even nicer and bigger one out there. More power to him. We are cleaning out a lot of different things. We've got weight sets, like some dumbbells, hand weights that he had that we've put up for sale. have a bedroom set, a couple of twin size beds that are really nice. He had nice stuff in his whole place. He had an exquisite exercise room. Even had in the exercise room, even had artificial turf like what you'd put for a putting green. He had that on the floor, and he cut a couple of golf holes in the putting green in his home to practice his putting. So it's just really fun to work with some of these folks and see how some of these folks, you know, go through life. The one thing that we still have to do is that we have, he is also a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we have been counseled for decades to store up some extra food so that if things get bad, you're not stuck in lines at the grocery store. Well, Clayton's a very obedient guy, and he and his wife have, I don't know, 25 5-gallon buckets of wheat and powdered milk and stuff in this large closet downstairs, and then they have hundreds of cans of food on the shelves. Well, they've now moved out west. They're obviously not taking this stuff with them, so we are going in and checking expiration dates on any of this. Anything that's expired, we get rid of it. Anything that's still good, we take it up the hill to his brother-in-law and add it to his food storage. At least that's what I'm told is the plan. So part of our work is to go through and identify expired dates of food in somebody's house. I will tell you, the realtor, great guy, he's been a guest on the show in the past. His name's Michael Say Jr., S-E-A-Y, one of the top realtors in the Washington, D.C. area. His dad, by the same name, is a very good friend of mine. The son is also a good friend of mine and is the one handling the real estate job here. Shout out to him and the great work that well, it's really a father-son team, the great work that they do, but Michael Say Jr. is really the guy who's kind of carrying the torch and doing the listings and doing all the work, etc., and he deserves a lot of credit. You can go back on the podcast for the Junk Refund Show, and you can find my interview with Michael Say Jr., and I think you'll enjoy it. A great guy who knows how to get a home sold and get good value for the home. So anyway, he's the guy that referred us to this. We're out doing it. It's working well. We just have a boatload of food supply stuff that we need to go through to decide what to do with it. And then I think we're good. Ironically, I cleaned out a number of years ago his dad's garage when his dad and his mom downsized to a condo. They called me and I went in and cleaned out his garage, and he too had some buckets of wheat. Buckets of wheat are big because, meaning they're important, they're a priority, 5-gallon buckets. They're also heavy as can be, but they're important because you take that wheat, which never really seems to go bad, you grind it in an electric grinder into wheat flour, then you then make wheat bread or cinnamon rolls or whatever, scones or whatever you make. And you basically provide for yourself a little bit of water and a little bit of sugar and maybe a little bit of yeast. You can make, you know, multiple loaves of bread off this wheat that's in these buckets. So when I did his dad's garage, sure enough, he too had some extra food storage stuff lying around. I actually took a couple of those buckets of wheat back to my apartment and used those for years to make wheat bread for myself, which I always enjoyed making. It was Michael Say's wheat that I used to make that bread. Well, here I am again, deja vu all over again, like Yogi Berra used to say. I'm now looking at a boatload of more buckets of wheat that are not going to be transported out west that we need to do something with, and you shouldn't just take them and throw them away. So I'm having a little bit of fun with that, and I'm not sure how it's all going to shake out yet because I don't know how much of this food that's in cans is expired, but that is the last part of the next job that we're going to do. I do need to give a shout out to Enterprise Rental Trucks because we rent trucks from them around the country. The one that I'm in right now is a 16-foot fake body truck with a lift gate on the back. The lift gate is great. It's hydraulic lift gate, so it lifts all the heavy items up into the truck for us, which is terrific. And everywhere I go, people comment on what a nice truck this is. And it's fairly new. It only had a couple thousand miles on it when we started renting it a few months ago. And boy, do we keep it busy doing lots of fun, big jobs. And it works well. I just delivered a couple of pine cabinets to some people in Severna Park, Maryland. And because it's a stake body truck, it has little sections of the walls of the truck that go all the way around the outside bed of the truck. Well, these pine cabinets were in the front of the truck, right up next to the cab. And there was a bunch of furniture piled up behind them. So it was great in that I could just remove the panel that was right in front of the cabinets, pull the cabinets off the truck sideways, deliver them to the lady, and boy, was she impressed. She just thought that was pretty cool. And I don't have to go through the back of the truck and make my way up to the front, clear stuff out, and haul it all back and all that crap. I can just go to the front, pull off the panel that I need to pull off, get access to what I need. I pull it off, and whammo, off we go. So that worked out well. Anyway, so hats off to Enterprise Rental Truck for the trucks that they rent us. They do a great job, great prices, and amazingly, the price to rent this, let's say for a week, keeps dropping, which is awesome. So that's a good thing, and they're very generous on the miles that they give us as well. One last thing that I'll kind of end the show with here is just the idea of, you know, keep a level head and stay calm in life. I'm talking about getting the junk out of your mind right now, getting the junk out of your anger part of your life or whatever it might be. Just stay calm and just realize that all things will work out in the end. Most of the things that we get, you know, upset about, frustrated about, or whatever, are temporary. They're not really long lasting. And I'm speaking to myself here as much as anybody, because the one thing that I hate is I hate to hit my head on something. I don't like doing that at all. I don't like riding around in a truck where when the wheels hit a bump, the wheels are directly underneath the cab, the seats where I'm sitting, then my head goes up into the ceiling sometimes. I hate that. But it's just the little things that can sometimes annoy people and just get you kind of angry. It's the old, you know, caught in traffic and somebody cut me off, you know, et cetera. It's that kind of stuff that can really get out of hand that leads to a lot of the anger that can be out there in the world. I forget the chain that was reported here that goes back to this fire in Michigan 10 days ago. But a young lady who was there in the congregation that day, who the shooter chose to let live. He could have taken her out. I believe he pointed the gun at her and then decided not to fire. And she wrote a little essay, and it was placed on Facebook by one of my friends who had some ties to Michigan. Basically, it talked about how you know, anger, and I'm probably not going to get this right, but it gave you the chain of command between, you know, anger and hatred and the opposite of being, you know, peace and forgiveness and that kind of thing. And she was basically saying, if we can just be more calm, we can stop some of the anger from taking over our lives. And if we stop some of the anger, then we stop some of the hatred. And if we stop some of the hatred, then we stop some of the violence. And if we stop some of the violence, then we have a more peaceful world. It's something like that. And I thought it was very well said and very good advice for all of us, and I commend her for writing it and for putting it out there, and thrilled, of course, that she is still alive. But anyway, remember, it starts with some of the little stuff, a little more patience, a little more forgiveness, a little more calmness, less anger, and big results can come if we all kind of chip in a little bit and do those kind of things. So we'll end with that note. I am back in Kensington, Maryland, where I'm going to check now my phone, see if I've finished off a sale for $300 for a bunch of other furniture that's on the truck. And coincidentally, got a lady that is here in this same area that needs a storage unit cleaned out. So I might get two birds with one stone here. I'm not sure. But I just want to thank you for listening. I'm going to wrap the show up a couple minutes early today, just saying thanks to Dawn and Doug Newsom, founders of the BBS Radio and TV Network, for all that they do. And grateful to Beyond Their Network, grateful to have my own radio show. It's never been easier to do a radio show than it is today. And if you're interested in having your own radio show, contact me at 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, and I'll tell you more about it. Or contact bbsradio.com. Talk to Doug or Don about getting going on their network, which is what we've done for a few years. And you will not be disappointed. It's a lot of fun. And it makes a difference in people's lives. Hopefully it makes people's lives better. And in our case, it helps you get the junk not only out of your living rooms and your garages, but also out of your life. Anyway, that's it from Kensington, Maryland, Suburna Park, Maryland, I-95 traveling towards D.C. It's great to do a radio show while you're driving around making money and selling stuff. Join us next week, 3 o'clock Eastern on Thursdays for the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. Everybody have a great week. If you want to email us with any questions or et cetera, we do service the whole country. Happy to come to your area and help you out as well. We also have 62 affiliates around the country that do the smaller jobs for us. We fly really cheap on Frontier Airlines around the country. So if we come and do a job for you, you won't be charged for any travel expense. And we stay free at hotels because of the Wyndham Rewards program. So there you go. Give us a call, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, or go to the website, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll look forward to seeing you and helping you get the junk out of not only your home, but also out of your life. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.